Com.
Hello, everybody. This is Adam Seward, and it's 3 o'clock on Monday, which means you're listening to Awaken Life. And if you check in with yourself, you'll also find out that it is still the present moment, that you never left the present moment, but you are, in fact, still in the present moment. So glad to have you with us. You're listening on KKNW 1150 and Transformation Talk Radio, coast to coast. And we're, like I said, we got a great show for you here today. I am joined in the studio, as usual, by Eric. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you, Adam?
Doing good. We started on August 1st, and we've had a month together, and
yeah,
I think we're having a good time.
Definitely.
Yeah. So, hey, thanks for your help today. Appreciate it a lot. So thanks. Thanks, Eric.
That suddenly ended up like a conversational cul-de-sac.
I know. It's like, who's going to go next? My turn, your turn. Anyway,
yeah, definitely happy to be here. Always enjoy doing the show with you. So.
Yeah, thanks, Eric. So good to have you here with us. So I've got a quote. I'm going to start off right now. I've got a quote for you, and I think you might find it interesting or enjoyable. This is from Eckhart Tolle. Today we're talking about presence, what it means to live in the present moment. And Eckhart Tolle is one of the masters of that, as some of you may know, author of The Power of Now. And this is actually a reading from a book called Oneness with All Life, which are inspirational selections from A New Earth. So he says, "We are in the midst of a momentous event in the evolution of human consciousness. On our planet, and perhaps simultaneously in many parts of our galaxy and beyond, consciousness is awakening from the dream of form. This does not mean all forms, the world, are going to dissolve, although quite a few almost certainly will. It means consciousness can now begin to create form without losing itself in it. It can remain conscious of itself even while it creates and experiences form. Why should it continue to create and experience form? For the enjoyment of it. How does consciousness do that? Through awakened humans who have learned the meaning of awakened doing. A new species is arising on the planet, and you are it." Yesterday, I did the Experience Oneness Summer Series. It was the third event of a three-part series. And at the end of the meeting, someone came up to me and said, "Why do we do this? I'm just wondering, why do we do this?" And then this morning, I found that quote by Eckhart Tolle, where he says, "We do this because it's, I'm actually going to read it from it. It says, Why should it continue to create and experience form? For the enjoyment of it. How does consciousness do that? Through awakened humans who have learned the meaning of awakened doing. So what's the answer? For the enjoyment of it. It's fun. It really is a playful game. And one of the things that came up during the event yesterday was, it occurred to me that part of what meditation allows us to do is actually get as drunk with the love of God as we want to literally saturate our souls with the love of God to the degree that we are willing to receive that on a daily basis. And like I said, we're going to be talking about presence today. And essentially, that's what it means to really be present. The more present you are, well, first, you're the more aware of oneness you are, and also the more drunk with the love of God you are able to become. And so I am joined here in the studio, as usual, by my compadre, my papi, Richard Seward, again, riding shotgun. So glad to have you with me here today, Dad.
Adam, so good to be here.
That was beautiful.
Yeah. Do you enjoy that?
I really enjoyed that. And it was similar to what I enjoyed in the waiting room coming in here today. I didn't know exactly what you were going to talk about, but you talked about, of course, my practice and gratitude and how it comes from the heart. And I could feel it when we were in the waiting room.
Yes, yeah.
There was an excitement that I knew was in store for us today.
Some of you may know my dad has volunteered to commit his life on a weekly basis to the practice of gratitude, to the awakened practice of gratitude, one of the doorways to an awakened life and one of the manifestations of an awakened life. And it sounds like as soon as you got to the studio today, or as soon as we met up today, there was like an awareness of that gratitude. And like we talked about, a rising in your heart.
Yes. You're moved. You can't help but feel it. It's something that, it permeates beyond anything we can imagine when you really feel gratitude. And today we'll talk about.
Dad, I have to say,
yeah.
In the last few weeks, I can already tell there's been an evolution in your understanding of gratitude.
Well, you know, the best example is last week we had a little get together, Adam and some of his friends, and I joined them. We had a great time, but we were on the waterfront in Kirkland. There was a free concert. We really had fun with that, but. That afternoon, I was playing golf, and I got the phone call from Adam inviting me out. And, of course, I'm on the golf course, and I had to set down my phone while I hit this next shot. And, of course, I've got all my teammates, you know, hoping that I get it on the green and get a good score. And I proceeded to hit an absolutely terrible shot. I shanked the ball straight right, hit a tree, bounced 20 yards behind me, and... A few years ago, I would have been pretty upset with myself, but this practice of gratitude changes everything. I didn't have a problem with that, and I picked up the phone, and Adam, did I sound upset about that shot?
No, you didn't sound upset at all. I think it was kind of funny because I think you told me that you shanked, and I said, well, you know, make sure you take a deep breath before this next shot. And find presence. You know, I'm like, I'm not in a hurry. You can set the phone down, take your time.
We seem to get these phone calls on the golf course, and of course, but it's great that we can connect that way with these new smartphones. I love it.
Yeah, yeah, and it's great we can connect over radio too. I mean, wow,
oh, yeah.
Like here we are. I mean, the fact that you can share this experience,
yeah.
You know, and. And people get to hear it. It just, there's something about that too that just seems. It reminds me of the quote that we read.
Sure,
you know, because the way Eckhart Tolle is talking about it. I mean, he's literally saying that there's a new way of life that's emerging on the planet. You know, and we're obviously calling that awakened life.
Yeah.
And it's a different deal.
It is, yeah. Interacting with it's contagious. Our friends are so interested in this, and even the guys I play golf with, I over the weekend, some of them were, you know, of course, we're talking about, you know, we made my wife and I, Diane, my lovely wife, 35 years. We play this Chapman format where it's alternate strokes. They call it divorce golf, but. Between the two of us, we just have so much fun with it. We were playing along pars, and then we get an 8 on one hole. Hmm. And the couple that we're with is just devastated that we had this 8. And Diane and I are just laughing, having the most wonderful time. That's gratitude.
That's right.
Yes.
And that's enjoyment. And that's the point.
That's the
answer to the question.
Absolutely.
Why do this?
Absolutely.
Why do this? Well, there's a few doorways, you could say, to this experience. And you know, we call those the four pillars. You know, we talked about that in the first or the second show. And the four pillars are kindness, gratitude, presence, and
openness.
Openness, thank you. And the one that we've really decided to focus on today is presence. Like I said before, and I actually have a guest here with me today, a dear friend of mine, actually, who part of what I've done is teach tools for presence, and that's something that he's going to talk about with us at some point today, probably after the break. But I'm actually looking forward to introducing you to him, because he's just one of those people who, you know, when you meet them, it's like, there's a resonance. It's like there's almost a familiarity on the level of the soul, and kind of like looking in a mirror. And so so he's here, and I'm really honored that he was able to come today, and really look forward to introducing you to him after the break. Which actually, I think we're probably about ready to go into break right now. So when we get back, we're gonna have another quote from Oneness with All Life. And my dad's also going to be reading a book, yes, from a quote from my book, Embracing Silence. And yes, so we look forward to talking to you again. You're listening to Awakened Life on KKNW 1150 and Transformation Talk Radio.
Are you upside down on your home loan and facing foreclosure? Washington's Foreclosure Fairness Act takes effect on July 13th and requires your mortgage holder to grant you a face-to-face meeting to negotiate modifications to your loan that may let you keep your house. More than 5,600 homes were seized in the first 3 months of this year in the state of Washington. Don't let this happen to you. Visit foreclosurefairness.net. That's foreclosurefairness.net. Or call 206-818-9732, your home safety net.
Call the Oprah of Radio by her listeners. Award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off traditional talk radio. Get ready for powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in, and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Listen to the Dr. Pat Show Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to noon on AM 1150, KKNW, and visit thedrpatshow.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome back from the break. This is Adam, and you're listening again to Awaken Life Talk Radio Evolved. And today we are talking about presence as a doorway to awakening, as a doorway to oneness, as a doorway to being drunk with the love of God. And I'm joined by a special friend here, again, someone that just is so conscious, so awake, so present, so giving, constantly bringing people together. A brother on the path without question. Seth, it is so good to have you on the show today.
Oh man, thank you for having me here. It's such an honor. It's such a joy.
It's so good already just to hear your voice over the airwaves, I have to admit.
We've been playing together for a while. It's nice to play in this forum, to see you shining in, you know, in your forum at, in your, on your stage here.
Hmm. You know, that's all. You've always been someone that has this ability to see people, to really see them, and that's been a real gift to me over the past. Well, you know, it's only been about 6 to 9 months that we've become friends, and it's been such a joy, such an honor to share this state and this presence and this beingness with you.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you make it so easy, you know. There's all of our personality stuff. There's all the things that we're doing, our talents, our habits, our patterns, our stories, our histories, our experiences. And you have a lot of amazing stories and gifts. And yet that clear presence that's beyond all of that just shines through so effortlessly. So it makes it quite easy just to see you. Like,
see what I mean? Can you hear this? He just reflects this love.
He's great.
He's like a mirror.
Yeah.
I mean, he's like a clear mirror. You're such a gift. You're such a gift. So we're here to talk about presence.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, we'll get into it, I think, in a little bit. You have a process that you work with people that is actually very similar to Vipassana meditation. And there's actually a few tools because, you know, we talk about presence and what it means to live in the present moment and what it means to really be conscious and to be grounded. And it's really interesting as a concept, and it's kind of intriguing as an idea, but it's something so much more as a lived experience in the present moment.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. A lived experience, you know, like in terms of a present moment felt reality, which, Dad, I think that's what you were talking about experiencing out before the show today.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's like it wasn't. So. It wasn't. It didn't. It was like more of a feeling and a spontaneous feeling than anything.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I actually have another quote here from Eckhart Tolle, and if you're up for it, maybe I could read it, and you and I can kind of shoot back and forth a little bit and about flesh it out.
Let's
a little
do it.
Bit. Okay. All right. So Tolle says that presence is a state of inner spaciousness. When you are present, you ask, how do I respond to the needs of this situation, of this moment? In fact, you don't even need to ask the question. You are still, alert, open to what is. You bring a new dimension into the situation, space. Then you look and you listen. Thus, you become one with the situation. When instead of reacting against the situation, you merge with it, the solution arises out of the situation itself. Actually, it's not you, the person, who is looking and listening, but the alert stillness itself. Then, if action is possible or necessary, you take action, or rather, right action happens through you. Right action is action that is appropriate to the whole. When the action is accomplished, the alert spacious stillness remains. There's nobody who raises his arm in a gesture of triumph, shouting, yay. There's no one who says, look, I did that. So I'm really intrigued by this. He says presence is a state of inner spaciousness.
Yeah.
So I just, you know, for me personally, when I talk about this, part of what I notice is that I start to really experience it. You know, I mean, because
that's true.
There's something to be said about, being on the radio and having a schedule and a time clock and everything that is a bit. It gets my brain going a little more than sometimes I would prefer. And what does he call it? He says inner still alertness. Inner still alertness.
Well, and, you know, the great thing about that is the mind can be going. You know, the thoughts can be arising, and that presence is still there.
Yeah, it's not something that's happening apart from the thoughts or something that's happening, independent of that. It's something that's actually happening. Well, it's in a sense, it's the space in which all of that is happening within.
Yeah.
You could say.
Yeah.
Does that, and that includes this moment. I just want to be clear.
Well, I don't know. I'm not sure. Let's see if that's true.
Maybe we can check.
Yeah, yeah.
Check a little bit and see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there's I remember when Eckhart Tolle came on Oprah for the webcast, and at the beginning of the webcast, Eckhart said, you know, she said, well, how would you like to start? And he said, well, why don't we start with like a few seconds or minutes of silence? I think it was seconds actually, because time is so sped up, you know, in that place. And I remember they just stopped and they were quiet. And I think he may have even said something about, you know, going into your inner body and feeling the, you know, grounding your awareness through the awareness again of the sensation of the inner body. And I mean, after about 10 seconds, I mean, you could tell Oprah was just like, she didn't know what to do with this dead air, this silent airtime. Mm-hmm. And she handled it wonderfully, and wow, what an amazing service to humanity she did in that, in setting that platform on that stage. I don't know if either of you remember that.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it was really good.
I know when I was on Dr. Pat's show not long ago, and we started talking about this thing of presence you start to settle into it. You actually start to feel it in the moment. And it's almost like any agenda that you may have had almost starts to fall away in a sense, you know, and I'm reminding myself a little bit even now, Seth, of the practice that you were to talk mm-hmm. about today.
Yeah.
Maybe we could even talk about that a little bit, like about how a person would do that.
Yeah, well, it's really simple. I mean, because that presence is here. It's always here. It doesn't go away. And so it's sometimes just helping us to become a little more consciously aware of what is already happening and what's already here, what's noticing, that noticer. And so one line of inquiry that I often encourage people around is just what's wanting our attention. And so just putting yourself in that noticing place, what's wanting my attention right now? And just noticing, is it thoughts? Is it feelings? Is it sensations? Without needing any of that to change, just acknowledging that that's what's arising in my awareness right now. That's what I'm offering my presence to. That's what's calling for my attention right now. And so just noticing right now, right here, in this moment, what's most wanting my attention. And just seeing where our attention naturally and organically goes to without searching, without seeking, without needing to be any different than it is. You know, it's going to this body sensation. It's going to this emotion. It's going to this thought. And then from there, perhaps fostering a curiosity. And that curiosity isn't even something that we have to effort. It's just the presence itself almost has a curiosity about itself.
Mm. That's almost the nature of the presence is a curiosity or an inquiring into.
I sometimes call it a compassionate curiosity. It's just without any agenda of trying to fix or make better or figure it out or lead it in any particular way. It's just this a curiosity about the mystery of what's arising.
Mm. Yeah. I noticed as you were saying that my attention immediately went to my breath.
Mm.
And as I was listening to you, it gave me the feeling that was what most wanted my attention in that moment was the breath.
Yeah.
And I've noticed that's been true for me quite a bit lately is that the breath seems to really be calling for my attention. And in some ways, the breath is spirit.
Yeah.
The breath is presence in a sense. It's presence, you could say, or awareness is actually the one that's breathing your body in this moment.
Yeah.
I feel gratitude for each breath.
Mm-hmm. And that as part of your gratitude practice.
Yes.
That's a nice idea.
Yeah.
I think this, how about this one?
Yeah.
I was at Bellevue Unity Church yesterday. They asked me to lead the meditation in the morning during the service. And, the meditation that I did is one that I call this one breath. And, the way that it works is, you just tune into the breath and let your attention sort of rest on the breath and settle on the breath.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just contemplate or consider that there's no such thing as a past breath. There's no such thing as a future breath. There's only the breath of this moment, this breath. And then in the recognition of that this is the only breath, this inhale, this exhale, and the recognition of that, honoring the breath as the only breath that it is. So these are doorways that we're talking about. These are just little tools, helpful tools. And, you know, you call them little, but in a sense, they're big tools. But these are ways, keys to finding our way into presence, which really is synonymous with oneness,
mm-hmm.
and also synonymous with awakening.
Yeah.
It's a lot of overlap in these words. You've noticed that, Dad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I remember you'll call me sometimes like, so what are we going to talk about on the show? And you'll be like, well, we could talk about vulnerability. And you're like, Is vulnerability, is that the same as openness? And I'm like, well, yeah. But we're kind of differentiating the two a little bit, because, you know, but it's true, though. They are the same. They really are the same, you know, and they're just, it's like a language game. Mm-hmm. Isaiah talked about that last week, that they play a lot of language games with this, that, you know, they're constantly finding ways to use, you know, words and, you know, that are more effective. And, you know, I was actually having a conversation with someone about this yesterday. I think a new language is emerging within our yeah. world. It's almost like we're using words that we've used before, but they have a completely different meaning. You noticed that, Seth. We've talked about this.
Well, it's interesting, actually. I was just hanging out with some friends, and they introduced me to the word "thank we." Mm. So it's thank you, thank we, and it's. And I was really appreciating that, because in that moment, the connection I was having with this other person, that's what seemed, there was a we space between us. There was the two of us connecting and creating an experience together. There was an experience emerging through us. And I was wanting to express gratitude for that, that it wasn't about them. It wasn't just about me. It was the collective experience. And so I just appreciating that as like another word that's, you know, the thank we. It's
Seth,
like a
Seth,
new word.
Thank we so much for being here.
Exactly.
You know, ego, right? We talk about ego. Yeah. Some of you may know that word is just Latin for I. Mm-hmm. It's just the Latin term for I. Yeah. Man, these words like thank we, you know, they kind of leave the I out of it. Or the you that is your I, should say, right? Kind of leave you and me. How about we leave you and me out of it, you know, to some degree?
Yes.
Oh, man. Well, we are talking about presence right here on Awakened Life. You guys are tuned in. And I mean that in both ways, that word or that phrase could be used. You are tuned in. If you're out there and you're really tuned in, you're feeling it. And we're going to continue this conversation. We're going to open up the phone lines to talk to listeners just like you who are experiencing this out there and who want to let's speak this new language together. What do you say? Give us a call. Would you mind giving them the thing, Eric?
Sure, absolutely. People can call in at 425-373-5527 or toll-free in Western Washington at 888-298-KKNW. That's 888-298-5569.
Thank you so much. All right, we're going to go into break, and when we get back, we're going to be talking more about presence. And we're not just going to talk about it. I think we're going to continue to experience it and soak in it a bit, if you're up for it. Stay tuned.
At the law offices of Richard D. Seward, we care about our clients. We offer important legal advice and services to help them grow their wealth and protect it. We manage the risks and help the financially distressed through the recovery process. We are committed and dedicated to helping people throughout Western Washington and beyond with our expertise in business, real estate, tax law, and debt relief. Find us at richardseward.com or call us at 360-876-6425. We care about you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Awakened Life Talk Radio Evolved here on KKNW 1150 AM and Transformation Talk Radio, coast to coast. Bi-coastal is what we like to say. We've gone bi-coastal. So we're talking about presence. Again, I'm joined here in the studio with Seth and my dad and, of course, Eric. And we actually, during the break, we had a caller come on. And so, Tanya, it's so good to have you with us.
Thank you, Adam.
Yeah, we're talking about presence today, and it feels like that's something that has been just in talking to you. And I should say, Tanya and I do know each other. She was actually at the Oneness event yesterday that, again, happened at Bellevue Unity. And Tanya and I have known each other for, well, I don't know, about a year. Is that right, Tanya?
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, and so we were just going to talk a bit today about your experience as a presence, because I feel like in the last year you have had, I mean, it's been quite a journey of awakening for you.
It's been a huge journey. It's been the journey.
The journey.
Everything has been leading up to this journey. Yeah.
And that's your experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. That everything in your life, every journey, every story, everything has been leading to this point.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like, I feel like life is kind of like a little treasure hunt, you know, and along the way, you're just kind of picking up clues that are leading you closer to the treasure. And kind of like a game, like hot and cold, you know, where as you get closer to the right things, you know, you're getting hotter, and then if you go away from it, you get colder and colder.
Mm. Right. That
has been my experience.
And yes, yeah. Well, and you've been having some hot experiences.
Yeah, lots of hot experiences.
Yeah.
And I think I just, you know, in the past year really opened myself to those experiences, and that's what we need to do, you know?
So this is somewhat recent to you in the sense that it's been really in the last year that you've experienced this quickening that we talk about.
Yeah, really in the last 6 months.
So even in the last 6 months, you've noticed a major quickening.
Mm-hmm.
Seth, have you experienced that too?
Oh, definitely. This has been an extraordinary time the last 6 months here, definitely.
Yeah, and Dad, you too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I, of course, have experienced it as well, and I can say, and I said this at the Oneness event yesterday, that I've been more drunk with the love of God in the last few months than I've ever been in my entire life.
Right.
Does that resonate with you, Tanya?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. That's even a term I never used that term before, you know. It was my experience to an extent, but it wasn't happening so often that I felt like I necessarily wanted to, you know, give words to it.
Yeah.
But certainly this year it has been. Mm-hmm. So Tanya, I told you this morning, I mentioned something to you that at the event last night. Now I don't talk about auras very much. It's just not something that is really that much a part of my teaching or my message. But I just saw this aura around you. This, like, you know, like when you see the pictures of Jesus, or, you know, from the Renaissance, and they have these halos around there. I mean, that's almost what it was, more than an, I don't even think I want to call it an aura. I think I saw a halo.
Nice. I love that. That sounds so lovely.
And I told, yeah, I like that better. You see, we've been talking about language and the way that language is changing to hold the shift in experience.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And so, yeah, halo sounds so much more appropriate. And, and that's really what I saw. I saw a halo. But what was even more interesting, at least for my scientific mind that likes evidence and likes to try to prove things,
exactly,
was that when I mentioned that to you, you had an experience that was consistent with it.
Yes. And so my experience, and, you know, after the meditation, you asked the group to kind of turn to their neighbor and talk about their experience. And I even said this to my neighbor, as we started talking. It was difficult for me to find words. I was in such a state of pure just peace and openness and love that having a hard time talking. And I told her that, and I said, I feel like all of my energy is just right up in my head right now. Like I'm actually having a hard time formulating words. I'm just all puffed up in my head right now.
But it wasn't,
and
like
those
you
were exactly
it wasn't...
my words.
Oh, that's what, wait, what did she say?
She just said, really, you know,
you felt puffed up in your head, but not because you felt like you said it wasn't uncomfortable. It wasn't like your,
no.
and it wasn't like you were up in your head in the sense that your brain was.
No, it was just all my energy was just floating at the top of my head.
Right, right. Yeah.
Which, you know, is what I suppose you saw.
Well, that's very similar to what I felt like I was looking at, actually. Yeah, that's, I think, again, like there's this scientific part of me that likes evidence, and that's, you know, that it sounds like evidence.
I know.
You know,
it's another clue. It's a clue that you're on to the right track.
Right. Well, another treasure.
Yeah.
You could say. Yeah. All right. So Tanya, will you please tell the story, the lotus flower story that you told me?
I would love.
Yay!
That.
Get ready, guys. This is really good. Get ready. You're gonna like this.
So, you know, Adam and I have talked about the lotus flower and just what a beautiful flower it is, and how it kind of symbolizes awakening, and we've talked about how it kind of symbolizes my journey of awakening, and just been a big transformation for me. And so a couple weeks ago, I was in northern Idaho, and I was on this private lake, and I was swimming. And I just remember this moment of just complete peace. And I was floating on my back in the water, and I think water is really kind of symbolic to me as well. And I was just endless, you might say. Mm-hmm. And I opened my eyes. And the first thing I saw was this amazing eagle just right over my head, right over the lake.
And I remember when you told me that, I couldn't help but say, I've seen that eagle.
I know
that eagle. And by that, I mean, I've had the meditation experience where you're just there and you're meditating and you're opening and of course, this bald eagle comes swooping in. So, yeah, of you, there's probably plenty of you out there listening who have seen this eagle. Of course, the eagle in at least Native American mythology or culture is a symbol of freedom. So,
right.
And next week we're going to be talking about radical freedom. So, please tune in next week for that show. But anyway, Tanya, do not let me interrupt. Please continue. This just gets better and better.
Okay. So there was the eagle. And, you know, again, it was just whenever I feel like God is speaking to me, you know, there's just this feeling kind of, it's like everything is at this higher level of vibration, you might say, or kind of higher frequency. And some people might call it intuition, or they're just, you know, they feel just very peaceful and in the moment. And so I was having that feeling, that experience, and I saw the eagle, and it just get brighter. And I was watching the eagle fly around the lake a couple of times, and it landed in a tree. And I had noticed these plants on the water, just kind of out of the corner of my eye when I first swam over, because I was kind of on the opposite side of the lake from where I started. And I just noticed them, but didn't really pay any attention to them. And then after I saw the eagle, just the plant came into my mind a little more vividly. And I looked over and I thought, huh, I wonder what those plants are. And it just felt like it was important for me to know what they were. And so I swam over. And literally, before I could really see what they were, it was like this voice said, they're lotus flowers in my head. And then I thought, no, they could not be lotus flowers, because there's so much symbolism behind lotus flower. And this moment is already so magical, like, they cannot be lotus flowers. And then, you know, it was again, no, they're really lotus flowers. And I know I sound crazy when I'm talking about it, but I swam over, and sure enough, there were hundreds of lotus flowers on the water. And, you know, it was just this amazing experience. And
this story just gets better every time I hear it, I swear.
And, you know, I was in bliss. And I knew it was a gift just for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, most of you don't know this, but in my apartment, I have a picture of a lotus flower that I have framed that is about, well, it's big. And I have a light that shines on it. And, you know, in this age that we're in this time of awakening, it just feels like that is such a, you know, and we're talking about finding words to describe these things. And it's just like, sometimes symbols are so much more powerful than words. And wow, what a powerful symbol that has been in both of our lives, many so many of our lives, really. Well, Tanya, thank you so much for sharing that. That was just so precious.
Thank you.
Yeah. And thank you for also, you know, your participation in the Oneness series and everything that, you know, that you brought to that. Appreciate that too.
It's always a blessing.
Yeah. Have I introduced you to Seth? He's here. Do you know Seth?
I think I've heard his name, Seth, but no, I don't think
you
I've need, ever.
You two, you're going to meet on the air. Seth, Tanya, Tanya, Seth.
Hi, nice to meet you, Tanya.
Hi, Seth. Nice to meet you.
You two need to meet because, yes. Just because, you know, you're just two of my close friends that I feel like are, you know, on the path together. And I'm just sitting here listening to both of you and just appreciating both of you so much.
Oh, I like that.
So we're going to go back to break, and, you know, if you're out there listening and you'd like to call in, please do so. You've got the number, and...
We can give it again if they didn't catch it the first time.
Thank you so much.
425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527, or toll-free at 888-298-KKNW. That's 888-298-5569.
All right, we look forward to hearing from you again. You're listening to Awaken Life. This is Talk Radio Evolved here on KKNW 1150 and Transformation Talk Radio.
Are you upside down on your home loan and facing foreclosure? Washington's Foreclosure Fairness Act takes effect on July 13th and requires your mortgage holder to grant you a face-to-face meeting to negotiate modifications to your loan that may let you keep your house. More than 5,600 homes were seized in the first 3 months of this year in the state of Washington. Don't let this happen to you. Visit foreclosurefairness.net. That's foreclosurefairness.net. Or call 206-818-9732, your home safety net.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. You're listening again to Awakened Life. Wow, what a show we've had here today. We've talked our way into presence, enjoyed presence. And we've learned some tools for how to access presence on our own. And we've heard a story, just a heartfelt sharing from Tanya on the phone of some really intimate but really powerful experiences that she's been having on her journey of awakening. Yeah. And, you know, one of the first things I did when I got on this show is I talked about the journey that kind of brought me to this point. And, you know, I hadn't thought of it as a treasure hunt, you know, the way she put it. But, sometimes I'll call it, it's almost feels like a game of hide and seek. but I really like the idea of treasure hunt, you know, it just really, that resonated for me. I don't know about the two of you, but.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
So one of the jewels that you've found, Dad, I mean, and that you've been, that we've just had so much fun talking about and is again, gratitude, you know, would you call it that? Would you call it a treasure? Would you say that, would you resonate like with Tanya's experience? Like the universe is just sort of offering this to you as a part of your path?
It's, it's certainly a treasure. I feel it's a gift. I feel like it's you know, an opening to presence. In fact, I'd like to, if you would allow me to, I'd like to read a quote from your book, if I may.
Well, why not? Thank you. Thank you for doing that. I appreciate that.
I think it ties in well with our conversation today. And I'll read here. One thing about gratitude is that it acknowledges the present moment. It acknowledges what you have already in the present moment, rather than directing your attention at what you never had or what you hope to have one day. So when practiced properly, gratitude is in itself a meditation. So my question to both of you for discussion is how would you use gratitude as a meditation, a daily meditation? How would you use
it? I love this. He's taking his practice to the next level here, and he's actually turning it around and asking us how we do gratitude.
Yeah, you tell me.
And I'll tell you what, that's really good. Seth, you have anything on that? Or?
Yeah, I mean, you can have gratitude for anything in any place. So, and I think any place that you bring it in, it can break that chain of suffering. So even if it's just gratitude that for the fact that I no longer want to be practicing gratitude, you know, gratitude for how frustrated I am, gratitude, you know, the experience of frustration or anger or angst, any of this, like, there can be a place to bring in the gratitude. And so it can become this universal practice that any place, anywhere you're at in your life, that you can start having gratitude and to have it where you authentically can start to have it in that given moment. So.
Yeah, that's beautiful. My experience too is that, you know, like we said earlier, you know, gratitude arises in the heart. So there's a, just like any emotion, there's an energy to it. It has you know, in Zen, they say there's something like 5,000 different states of mind and gratitude being one of them, and also gratitude being one of the highest, states. And, in a sense, it's like by tuning into the heart and sort of inquiring into the heart and saying, you know, where is the gratitude, the real gratitude, the true treasure? It's like you start to feel into an overwhelming sense that all of your needs are met.
Yes.
That everything is as it should be.
Yeah.
That there's so much that you've been given. Maybe not materially. I mean, many people I know have been given a lot materially, but it might not be materially. I mean, it might just be in terms of opportunities for learning and growth in your life. I mean, sometimes is like, what could you be more grateful for, you know, than this chance, this opportunity, this calling into a higher and wider expression of yourself, which is so much of what our life is. It's just sort of one lesson after another. So, yeah, it feels like gratitude is it even aligns our energies and aligns us with the you could say the evolutionary impulse. Yeah. There's another new word. I mean, not new. Other people say it, but it was new as of like this.
I think we've got a phone call.
We've got a phone call that, well, I can see on the thing it says Adam's mom. So this is up. Uh-oh. All right, we got a few minutes. Pat, you're in, Eric. Diane, my mother.
Hi, honey.
Hey, how you doing?
I wasn't going to do this. But when you started talking about the eagle, I just felt compelled. I had to call because of the day that we had a walk out on Big Pond, and you were teaching me one of the practices of meditating. We're sitting there on a bench, and all of a sudden you said, there's the eagle. And I actually had my eyes closed, and I woke up, or I opened them up, and I was just, like, blown away because the eagle was right there flying right in front of us. It was it gave the experience so much depth. We had quite a conversation about eagles at that time, and and then when Tanya mentioned it, I just had to phone in.
That's so, the eagle. Oh, that's,
yeah,
the one.
That's the one.
Yes. That's the one. Yeah.
And your program today is really, I'm really feeling the oneness, and I'm just feeling, the feelings are just very intense today, and I thank you for that.
Mm.
Wow.
Oh, there's that gratitude in the heart feeling.
feeling the gratitude, yes, so much.
Well, you're also reflecting it very powerfully. And I remember sitting on that bench. I actually went out there by myself just to spend some time communing with nature. Nature mysticism is the name for the experience of oneness with form, in the form of nature. It's called nature mysticism. And I was sitting there, and I just thought, you should, I wanted to share this with you. You know, it was just so powerful. And I remember texting you and you're like, I'm coming. It was just really, really precious. And didn't you say too that you felt some, like later that day or the next morning that, I think you had a party that night or something and you felt like you felt different.
Oh yeah. It was just, I honestly did. And I could feel having had that experience, how it impacted my feeling for the rest of the day and then some.
Right.
It was a very, very powerful feeling.
Yeah. It feels like, when we go into presence or when we practice this meditation, it's like it sort of fans a flame within us, and you could even say a flame within our hearts. And
yes,
when we go out into the world after that, it's like, even though we're not meditating necessarily anymore or practicing, that flame is still burning and it burns for a while. Usually, I mean, I've noticed there's like a momentum that is carried forward with it.
Yes, and I especially feel that when you remind me of the breath, which you did today, and that's been real powerful for me to take the time to take the breath.
Mm-hmm.
I really, it really gets me there.
Mm-hmm.
It does. It really works.
Yeah. You know, and you saying that reminds me, there's a couple more tools I want to give the listeners, and we've only got a couple minutes, so I'm going to make it quick.
Okay.
But there's a technique called the Hung Sao technique, which I learned indirectly from a teacher named Paramahansa Yogananda. And it carries the energy of that particular lineage. And basically, you're instructed to say internally to yourself on the in-breath, Hung. And on the out-breath, you say Saw. And the words translate as I am he or I am. And the deeper instruction is to make no effort whatsoever on the in or out breath to control the breath, but just to really allow it to flow naturally without any work to control it. And that for some people is the deeper aspect of the teaching, because it requires the kind of awareness that we were talking about earlier, which is this sort of, well, actually Eckhart Tolle says when consciousness is no longer totally absorbed by thinking, some of it remains in its formless, unconditioned, original state. This is inner space. So when we pay attention and we pay attention from that place of inner space, then we're able to witness the breath without making any effort to control it. And essentially, we're resting in our true nature, you know, right in that moment. And that's the Hung Sao technique. And I personally practice it every day. And I know, Seth, I mean, you have a practice that you do every day, right? I mean, like a meditation often.
My practice nowadays is just hanging out in this moment, basically.
So. See, that's, did I mention that this path ends here? It's a pathless path to here. What a show. Oh my gosh. I just am so overwhelmed with gratitude. And I, you know, I encourage you out there, practice the things and open these doorways. They're always open. So, you know, they're there for you. Mom, thank you so much for calling. That was so special.
Thanks for calling, honey.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm having a lot of fun.
You are listening to Awaken Life on KKNW 1150 AM. This is Talk Radio Evolved, coast to coast. Transformation Talk Radio.
See you next week.
Take care.
Radical freedom.
Yes.